Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. A recent New York Times piece highlighting yoga injuries ignited passionate debate in the blogosphere about the virtues and the risks of yoga. And the discussion brings to the fore the way yoga practice is changing. Joining me now to talk about yoga's past, present, and future is Charlotte Bell. She's been a yoga teacher and practitioner for 30 years. She's the author of the book Mindful Yoga, Mindful Life, A Guide for Everyday Practice, and her next book, Yoga for Meditators, will be published in May. And Charlotte Bell joins me in studio. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks.
Also with us, Andres Gailis. He is director of Shiva Center Yoga in Salt Lake City, and he's traveled the world studying yoga, including in Latvia and India. He also has a degree in law and worked in international business for 8 years. And Andres, thanks very much for being in studio as well.
Thank you.
If you'd like to join our conversation, 801-355-TALK is our number. Do you practice yoga? Have you been injured doing yoga? What changes have you seen in the yoga studio over the years? 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. I mentioned the recent New York Times story about injuries resulting from yoga practice. They range from pulled hamstrings to head and neck injuries. Charlotte Bell, what was your first reaction after reading this piece?
Well, actually, I read the piece and I was a little bit disappointed by the fact that the anecdotal examples he used were 40 years old. Mm. But I was also really glad that this article came out in such a huge forum, because I think it's a conversation that has needed to happen for a long time. And I'm really happy that it has sparked a lot of conversation in the yoga world about what our intentions are and why injuries happen. I think it's a really important conversation.
Mm-hmm. Andres, you know, people get injured playing golf. They get injured playing tennis. Is yoga for everyone? And what do you think about the injuries that we're hearing about surrounding yoga?
Yeah, I agree. World is, in a way, not a safe place, and it is in the same time. But you can get injured in any ways. And also in yoga, it's just mainly, I would say, it is for everyone, but everybody should be able to see where the line and how much far to go. Like, I remember I was reading this article, and one person with the neck injury, and they're investigating everything, and has bruises on the spine. Well, to me, that doesn't sound like it's a nice example how to do yoga. If you have bruises, probably it was a painful yoga, so probably it was not correctly done.
Mm. Yoga has just exploded in popularity, especially during the past decade or so. From your vantage point as instructors, I'm curious, how have you seen yoga changing over the years? Andres, let's start with you.
Well, obviously it's changed and go quite in the mainstream. And whenever something goes mainstream, you have a lot of styles and a lot of varieties. So I guess if you would come to some yoga teacher a few hundred years ago, you would just start with a couple of asanas. Nowadays, one asana is not good enough, and we need to really develop so people are interested in that. I wouldn't say it's a bad tendency. It's just, it just takes it up in the mainstream, and it's always gets the quality down.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte Bell, you've written several blog posts exploring the reasons for injury. You suggest that part of the problem with the injuries may link to our Western notion of competition. Do you want to expand on that?
Sure. Well, I think the problem comes, at least for me, what I see the root of the issue is that we've taken one limb of this eight-limbed system, the physical practice, and dropped it into a culture that does focus on competition and taken it out of its own context. And the actual context of yoga, traditionally, people would start by studying and practicing things called the yamas and niyamas. And the yamas are ethical precepts like non-harming and truthfulness and wise use of your energy and non-greed, and the niyamas are things like cultivating contentment and self-study. And if that's your context in starting a physical practice, it's very different from starting your practice from the context of, okay, physical practice is about winning and striving and forcing and
it's no pain,
it's
no
just
gain.
No pain, no gain. It's a really different context. So I think that, and it's not that we're wrong, we're just interpreting, we're taking this one piece of it and interpreting it through the context that we're familiar with. Because that's the context that we know. And if we instead, I think, interpreted it through the context that yoga actually, the system of yoga actually provides, I think it would be a really different experience.
We're speaking with Charlotte Bell. She's a yoga practitioner for the past 30 years, author of the book Mindful Yoga, Mindful Life. Also with us, Andres Gailas, who is director of the Shiva Center Yoga in Salt Lake City. If you'd like to join us, we're talking about yoga, yoga injuries, and how the sport, do I call it that? The practice has changed over the years. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Andres, this idea of competition, do you see a lot of that in your yoga studio where it really does sort of contradict the mental attitude that is attached to yoga practice?
Yeah, it's definitely there. It's the human nature is, to kind of go forward and push really often, and Charlotte was saying correctly, if you would start with the simplest steps like yamas, niyamas, that would take a lot of those problems already away. And now we have come to the point that the yoga is a art of, it can be in many directions, but if you talk about what people are going to yoga for, it's for health, and then we end up in absurd way into talking about injuries. So it doesn't make sense in any way, because it is for healing the body, and this is the body which is just needs to feeling to be feel good, so we can go forward with meditation and working with our consciousness. So we just have mixed in places the cause and the consequences, what we usually do nowadays, mm-hmm. when the health and the body is just a nice thing to be able to work with your mind and not be distracted with that.
But can you, yoga has its beginnings in ancient India. Can you separate the philosophical underpinnings of this practice from, just getting a good workout? And that seems to be what brings a lot of people to yoga these days is not that that meditation or the mental part of the exercise. Charlotte Bell?
Well, obviously it can be done because it is being done.
Is it, but should it be done? I guess is the question.
Well, I know that at least for me, when I first started practicing yoga, and I think that this is a pretty common experience, I think most people aren't really interested in learning the philosophy at the beginning. And I think that's why it's so important that if you're going to teach, that you have that context so that whatever you're communicating to the student is not about competition. That you, even if you don't even have to say the words, it's sort of the way you are in the class really in a lot of ways dictates how the students are going to do their own practice. I don't actually see a lot of competition in my practice, in my teaching. Part of that is because many of my students have been with me a long time, although I get, I've gotten a lot of new students recently, but they comment that they don't feel that competitive thing. And I think it's because after 30 years, maybe I've sort of gotten a handle on it, sort of, not all the time.
Mm-hmm. Did you start out in a competitive way?
I didn't come into the world as a competitive person, but certainly I was born with a flexible body, so I was under the misconception that if you have a flexible body, you can do yoga and you can teach it. Mm. And it's really not at all about that. It's not all at all about what you can do in your body, whether you can perform so-called advanced poses or not. But I think we all come into it with that misconception that, we see the poses on the covers of magazines or in videos or whatever, and we think that that's what it's about because that's all we know. So
Charlotte, you also have written that, you know, maybe the large class sizes, you know, the extreme popularity and the teacher training that goes into it, because you've got a supply-demand issue. You've got lots of students want to take it. Okay, well, then you've got to supply enough teachers, that maybe that might be a contributing factor to the injury uptick as well.
Yeah, I mean, after 30 years of practice, I realize I still have a whole lot to learn. And so when I think about people taking a six-month course or a weekend course, which there are those, I just can't imagine.
And becoming an instructor.
And becoming a teacher, I can't imagine stepping into a class with 40 or 50 people where the mats are right next to each other and you can't even see people, let alone go around and help them, you know, because people are so packed in. I prefer, even as a teacher with 25 years of experience teaching, I prefer a much smaller group so I can really get to know people and I can really see what's going on and I can go around and help them if they need help.
Mm-hmm. Andres, how important is that personalized attention in the yoga studio to preventing people from overdoing it, going beyond what their body can do at this moment?
Yeah, I agree. And like nowadays is when you have a 40, 50 people class, you got to play on, if you're having also a class which is in a competitive manner, then you know, you can't really... It's not talking about control, but you can't really help or influence it anyhow. Mm-hmm. I agree. You need to have a smaller group to work really, really individually with every person. But, you know, that's how it is. The yoga, which we talk about nowadays, is just this strong workout. And if it wouldn't be only that, then wouldn't be a question like that in the first place. But, it helps the body. So, you know, it's a way how they can go from that perspective. And if they are interested or lucky enough to go dwell deeper, and it's a nice way how to go towards the meditation and towards the involving a little bit more in how you view the world.
Mm-hmm. Andres, it's been a few weeks since this piece came out in the New York Times. Are your students worried? Have you gotten questions from people at the studio saying, wow, could I really get injured this way?
Well, the fact that I read it probably is because it came to me. So yes, there is thought about that, but to be honest, it's not really, at least in my classes, it doesn't really, you know, I just really always invite people to not step over the limit of where it gets painful and risky. Mm-hmm. And then it's safe, you know. Yoga is in a way foolproof if you're not trying to prove anything.
Charlotte Bell, are your students worried at all? Or
I wouldn't say they're worried, but I probably had the link sent to me by about 20 people. You know, just, have you seen this? And they know, my students know that I'm constantly talking about how it's not about what your body can and can't do, and don't, you know, if this doesn't feel at all, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. And I would much rather see someone not do a pose than do a pose. If it's going to hurt them. And actually, I even define that as advanced practice. If someone has the awareness and the mindfulness to do a pose in a way that's not pushing the limit, to me, or has the mindfulness to just say no to a pose, to me, that's the sign of a more mature practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I really drill that into them, so...
So a lot of it is, you know, just relying on your own body, listening to what is going on inside and making sure that you are in line with that?
Yeah, that there's no pose that's worth hurting yourself. Yoga is about, as Andres touched on, it's, when I was in India studying with Iyengar, he talked about how the asana practice, the physical practice, is about creating a balanced and calm environment for your mind for meditation. That's the whole point. It's not about no pain, no gain.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte Bell, a yoga teacher, practitioner for 30 years, author of the book Mindful Yoga, Mindful Life. Her next book is coming out in May, Yoga for Meditators. And Charlotte Bell, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Also with us, Andres Gailas, director of the Shiva Center Yoga in Salt Lake City. And Andres, thanks to you.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW News in Salt Lake City. Thanks to Tamara Kemsley and Katie Sheen Abbott. Our technical director is Jesse Ellis. Next time, it's Politics Up Close with Jeff Robinson. Tune in for that tomorrow. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce.